Well, and invite the kids to go back to kids' worship. You can follow Miss Nina back there. She will be teaching the younger ones. I'd like to ask the rest of you to open your Bible to the book of Jude. If you're using the Pew Bible, it'll be pages 1910 and 1911 is where our reading's going to come from. Periodically, a song that was inspired from Scripture prompts me to examine the text in a lot more detail. And that's true of the song that we sang today and opened our service with, To the Only God. How many of you have heard that song, To the Only God? Raise your hand if you have. We sang it twice at the beginning of our service. You didn't hear it? You even sang with it once. Wow. So I'll have to get your attention, I guess, right, to really make sure you hear the rest of this. Verses 24 and 25 are referenced in that song. And those verses are often considered to be a doxology. Doxology is a short declaration of praise. And most often in the church, we use it to either open or close an assembly. But having said that, what's contained in this passage is something that would be good for us to declare at any time, not just at the beginning or end of a gathering on a Sunday. I'd like to read that again, Jude, verse 24 and 25. It says, "To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now, and forevermore. Amen." True to the first of the Ten Commandments, Jude acknowledges that there's only one true God. Now, you know as well as I do, this has been disputed throughout the ages. People want to say, well, there are many gods. There are many ways, again, that we might approach gods and find our, if you will, our satisfaction in life and our security for eternity. But the issue at hand this morning is not what others might believe. It's about what do you believe and what do I believe. Jude makes some very unique claims about this God that he worships. It's the God of the Hebrews, the God of the Bible, the creator of heaven and earth. And as we sang in that song, he is the one who has saved us, the one who possesses all glory, majesty, power, and authority. He's the sovereign God, the King of kings, the one who reigns over everything. He's the promised hope. He is the great I am. That's the God we're talking about. And that's the God we worship, as well as the one who Jude worshiped. And Jude says that this God, because of how awesome and mighty and wonderful and glorious he is, he said he is the God alone who can keep us from falling. We sang that, he alone, this God, he can keep us from falling. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that there's not a one of us in this gathering who hasn't fallen at one time or another. Most of us a lot more than one time. We might have merely stumbled, slipped, or tripped and fallen from a standing position. Anybody ever do that? Sometimes over your own feet. You want to blame it on something, but no, it's just I was clumsy. Maybe we lost our balance and fell from a chair we were standing on. Now, if you ever have done that, I got to tell you something right now. You need to talk with Miss Phyllis up here in the third row down, and she will give you the instructions about how to safely stand on a folding chair. There's really only one rule. Don't do it. Right? Don't do it. But if you've ever done that and you've thought, well, I wish I hadn't because you fell from it, then you know what we're talking about. Most of us, though, we have better sense than to do that, right? We would stand on a chair that was unsteady. No, we use a step stool or a ladder. But even then, have any of you ever fallen from either a step stool or a ladder? Yeah, yeah. Phyllis now pointed to her husband. He's not allowed to do that. That's one of his cardinal rules. Don't climb or stand on anything, right, other than the ground. Be careful about that even. Others have likely experienced falling from greater heights, maybe from a roof or a ledge. Despite offerings on YouTube, falling is no laughing matter, no matter who you are. Several years ago, while hiking through the forest of a state park in Ohio, I decided to show off a bit. And I know you're going to find that hard to believe, that I would ever do that. But I wanted to demonstrate to my kids how you can climb a sapling and ride it over safely to the ground. Well, the tree snapped, and I fell about 10 feet flat on my back. And it so much knocked the wind out of me that I couldn't speak for several minutes, and that is a miracle in itself. Meanwhile, see, my family is really just concerned. They're thinking the worst. They're worrying how they're going to get me out of this situation, how they're going to carry me out of this wilderness. Now, even if cell phones had been around then, and they weren't, I doubt that we would have gotten signal from that remote place. But thankfully, the only thing that was seriously hurt was my pride. Just a few weeks ago, I fell again. That wasn't from a tree this time. No, I misstepped coming down the stairs at Thompson School. It was as if my leg gave out. And before I could catch myself, down I went like a ton of bricks. The fall itself didn't do that much damage, it didn't seem, but the way I twisted my hamstring on the way down, it hurt like the dickens. I don't know what the dickens is, but it hurts. It hurts. I mean, the folks that were with me, you know, they were witnesses of my moaning and my crying out. It hurt. Now, I laid there for a while waiting for, you know, the pain to pass a little bit, and it finally eased up. And with the help of my Crossroads comrades, I was able to get back up to my feet, and they helped me hobble down the hall so that we could work with the kids that afternoon. But I'm still sore and hurting, you know, and I didn't get down the floor like I sometimes do because I knew if I did, I couldn't get back up this time. So I taught from a chair. When I got home, I followed some directions of some people that I knew were wiser on the subject than me, and applying heat and cold, and taking some, you know, ibuprofen to keep down the swelling. But I tell you what, it hurt, and I didn't sleep well that day. And matter of fact, I was still so sore the next day, and it was so swollen that I couldn't get around very well. Ended up taking a day off. That was, I think, my first sick day at Calvary. No, I'm kidding. Maybe the second. I don't know. Since I've been here. But I needed assistance even, you know, to get about. But, you know, those falls, I wasn't seriously hurt. I was able to recover from pretty quickly, even in the worst case scenario, a couple of days. But a lot of people have fallen and they didn't get up so easily. Some people have fallen and they never recovered fully at all. I know that you know people personally that's happened to. Those of you who have been here at the church for any length of time have heard about, you know, my brother Rob, my younger brother, that he fell from a ladder 25 feet head first onto concrete. And he suffered such severe head trauma that he never fully recovered. He actually bled out on the scene, but the EMTs resuscitated him and took him to the hospital, where he remained in a coma for several days before being transferred to a nursing home. And he was seriously disabled, and eventually the complications from his injury took his life. So a fall can be very, very serious. It can be catastrophic. So most of us, I believe, understand that, so we take care not to fall, don't we? I mean, there are none of you that fall on purpose. I mean, you don't do bungee jumping, do you?
That's really a bright thing to do, I think, you know, but people who purposely fall, not, most of us don't do that. Maybe fall back on a trampoline, something we think is going to catch us, or fall into a net, but even then we're careful, we're cautious about it, because we recognize how severely we could be hurt by a fall. Some even have a great, great fear of falling. It's something that really concerns them so greatly that they hardly do anything because they're just afraid of falling. Yet Jude isn't talking about physical falling. In context, he's referring to something that should concern us even more than physical falling and being hurt, no matter how severely, by that kind of fall. Now, he's talking about falling into sin, especially when we fall so far we can't get back out. He's talking about being so spiritually damaged by a fall that we are beyond recovery. In context, in the book of Jude, and I encourage you to read the whole thing, he warns believers to learn from their predecessors who turned their back on God and fell into ruin, some even to their deaths. Whether Satan's angels, yes, read, Jude speaks about that, or the residents of Sodom and Gomorrah, or those who rebelled in the wilderness, how they fell, and many of them were destroyed in their fall. Last week, I spent considerable time on the deep truth that nothing can separate us from God's love. Hopefully you recall that. We looked at Romans chapter 8. Yet this doesn't mean that we can't separate ourselves from God by our willful choices or foolish decisions. God still loves us. Nothing can change that. But it is possible to fall so far from Him that we don't benefit from His love. We sang about the one whose love will never end. In Jude 21, it says, "Dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life." Keep yourself in God's love. Does He love you? Absolutely. Are you remaining in His love? That's the question. Whether or not you're benefiting from that love. I've shared this before, but I believe it illustrates the idea well. Years ago, I found a dog outside of my office. Its leash had become tangled around the pole of one of the handicap signs. I noticed it also had one of these protective halos or cones around its neck, apparently to keep it from scratching a recent wound. Now, I approached the dog cautiously, as you could probably understand, but rather than growling or snarling or snapping at me, the dog was jumping for joy that someone was coming to its rescue. Now, a quick inspection revealed a collar with a tag that said, "If found, call this number." And I did. The owner was elated to hear that I had found her dog, and she came almost immediately to pick it up. She scolded the pet before offering to pay me a reward, which I refused. She thanked me again, and then she loaded her dog in the back seat of her Lincoln Navigator. I mean, this dog traveled in luxury. And then she drove off. Now, there was no doubt in my mind that she loved her dog. He just ran away. Got so ensnared in the process that he couldn't get loose. Seen something that got his attention that he thought that was more important than the loving protection and care that he was under for the moment. Off he ran, I'm sure, till he couldn't find his way back or couldn't get free to get back. That's what we sometimes do. We do. Something gets our attention, some lure, some temptation, and we leave the love of God for what we think will satisfy, fulfill, and we get so far away from the protection and the safety and the benefit of the love of God that we don't experience the benefit of it. But you know what? It doesn't have to be that way. The one and only God is able to keep us from doing that. That's what our text declares. That's what we sang. Well, how? How was he able to do that? Well, first of all, let me tell you what he doesn't do. He doesn't do it by locking us up in a pen or keeping us on a tight leash or tying us to a bedpost. He could do that, but he doesn't. He loves us, but he gives us liberty, whether we will stay in his love or not. He says, listen to me, lean on me, learn from me. I can keep you upright. Trust me here. I'll make you strong. I'll keep you safe in my loving care. Whether we do that or not, it's up to us. Nina will tell you that one of the downsides of being a pastor's wife is that you're likely going to be used in a sermon illustration at least once a week. And last year, I oft referred to Nina's knee replacements. She was very concerned after her first knee replacement that she might fall. She was very concerned about that. When asked why, she said, that's all I would need now is a broken hip. I'm not even healed from this knee and have a broken hip. What in the world would I do? So she was very, very nervous about that, fearful about that. Yet she was wise enough to use the walker that was provided for her and later the cane that was given to her to steady herself, to keep herself stable, to keep from falling. Beyond that, she let me take her arm and walk with her. She would wait on me to help her in and out of the car, up and down stairs. She would let me support her each step of the way. She endured some pretty rigid discipline, working with her physical therapist 2 to 3 times a week, subjecting herself to some grueling exercises in order to get strong enough so to be able to stand without falling. And that doesn't include the personal exercises she did at home, either with my assistance or by herself. She was very disciplined about that. See, spiritually speaking, that's what we need to do with God. We really do. We need to learn that we need him to keep us from falling. We need him to build us up so that we're not falling all the time. Falling down a lot lately? Do you find yourself tripping over temptations that you said with all confidence, I'll sidestep that next time. I'll hurdle over that next time that I find that temptation in my path. Are you falling headlong into sin at times, wondering why in the world God isn't keeping you from falling? Are you battered and bruised by your personal demons, wounded by your weaknesses, hurting from your frequent falls? Are your eyes swollen from crying in despair, from your fallen position? Are your spiritual limbs worn out from trying to stand on your 2 feet alone? See, there's one who's able to keep us from falling. Verse 21 of our text also, though, indicates that he does that by enabling us to be built up in the faith and to stay connected with him by praying in the Spirit. See, he invites us to let him keep us from falling. How? Well, by leaning on him, number one. Leaning on him. You could sing the chorus, leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure, right? So leaning on Jesus, leaning on him. So often again, we don't do that. We take off running, doing whatever it is that we want to do without recognizing we're leaving him behind. Without realizing we need to lean on him every hour, all the time. He'll keep us up. He'll hold us up. He can keep us from falling. We've got to lean on him. We've got to depend on him. We've got to recognize our frailty, our weakness, our inability to go it alone and lean on him.
I had someone years ago tell me, well, you know what? Jesus is just a crutch to you. I said, I'm not ashamed of that. But he's not just a crutch. But yes, I lean on him. I need to lean on him. And those who don't recognize that will eventually fall flat on their face, and then they're going to reach out and call out to him that they might lean on him. But sometimes, see, there's such severe damage that's done by that.
And yes, we're being warned that some will wait until it's too late, and then they'll fall in so far, it's beyond recovery. Need to lean on him. We also need to learn from him. I can't emphasize enough the importance of being in God's word. Jesus himself said, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, come learn of me. Come learn from me. So often we miss that. We want the rest, but he says, learn from me. Let me show you how to walk. Let me show you how to go through life. Learn from me. He'll instruct us. He will teach us. He will demonstrate to us how to wade through life without falling. Jesus is the only one who ever walked through life and never fell. Not a single solitary time. Oh, people say, well, we fell three times on the way, you know, to the cross. Show me that in the Bible. It's not in there, folks. It doesn't say that. Now, maybe he did, but that would still be physically falling. He never spiritually fell. Never once. Not a once. So who could best teach us how to walk without falling? How to live our lives without falling? It's him. We need to follow him. Learn from him. Yes, and we do need to listen to him. Need to pay attention. In the song that we sang a little while ago, The Sky Spills Over, it talks about the thunder. Can you hear that thunder? Well, hear me. God doesn't always speak in a thunderous tone. Sometimes it's a whisper. And we need to learn to listen to him. We need to listen for his direction, his instruction. And if you have difficulty doing that, I would encourage you, you know, once again, to realize that the Lord has ordained some people to act as spiritual therapists, to build us up in the most holy faith. Read Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. He's given some to be apostles, some to be pastors, some to be preachers, some to be teachers. Why? To build us up, it says, in the most holy faith. That there are some people who God has gifted and trained and they've been willing to be instructed by him enough that now they can be teachers of others, help others. If you're having difficulty, again, leaning, learning, and listening, and you really, you say, well, I do want to know this, but I don't understand it. Take advantage of the opportunities that not only we provide, but are provided so many places where there are gifted spiritual therapists who can help you to be built up in your faith. You need to spend time in the Word, connecting with God through his Word, listening to what he has to say. Read your Bible at home. I know, once again, people say they have difficulty, you know, where do I start? How do I understand all this? How do I digest it? I don't get all of it. And so they don't do it. Hear me. If that's where you are today, Get one of those devotional books. If you know, it would help you just to have a devotional book, Daily Devotions with God, or you know, Walking with Jesus Today, or and read that devotional, that scripture, and the application to it. Start there. But hear me, once again, there's going to come a time when a morsel is not going to satisfy. A morsel of the bread of life is not going to satisfy. You will need to grow beyond that, learn more, gather more. And it's interesting that the way that God has so wonderfully made us, Psalm 139 declares that, our cerebral cortex retains everything we see, hear, read, smell, experience, everything. It is recorded and retained here in our minds. And the more that we repeat hearing, seeing, experiencing this Word of God and the relationship with God through His Spirit, the more that those paths are so well-traveled and easily traveled that you're going to be recalling what you have read and heard and studied. And you won't necessarily have to open the book. The book will be here and in here. So we need to learn to lean on the one and only God, see, who can keep us from falling. And again, he talks about praying. The scripture talks about praying continually. That's a mindset that says, I need that lifeline to keep me from falling. In Mark Batterson's book, If, he shares that if you want to hear from the Holy Spirit on any specific thing, you need to start listening to Him about everything. You won't hear His words of comfort if you tune out His words of conviction. You won't hear His words of grace unless you listen for His words of guidance. So we need to be sensitive to all that He has to say to us, and we need to communicate to Him regularly. Pray, but also listen and be in His Word. Have difficulty praying? Well, come and let us pray with you. Not just for you, but with you. And your prayers might start off as unspoken prayers, but you can learn to talk with God through the Spirit as naturally as you do with your best friend. And you will find that to be something that builds you up, something that strengthens you, something that helps you to keep from falling. One of the first things that we should pray every day, Jesus taught us in what's called the Sermon on the Mount and then in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. How many of you pray that every day? Be a good thing to pray, don't you think? To pray that. Not necessarily always in those words, but to pray that, God, keep me from falling. Keep me from falling. Because He can. He's able. And He wants to because He loves us. But again, we need to lean. We need to learn. We need to listen. I'm afraid that so often we don't do any of those things. At least we're not learning from Him, we're not listening to Him, we're not leaning on Him. We follow the wrong kinds of leaders, and we listen to the wrong kind of instruction, and we listen to other voices, and part of that's because we don't know what's in here. And so somebody says something, and it sounds good, sounds like it makes sense, sounds logical, so okay, I'll pursue that, I'll follow that. But Jesus said something, once again, in the Sermon on the Mount, if the blind lead the blind, they're going to fall in the pit. We need to be careful who we follow. We want to follow God. We want to follow His Word. We want to follow Jesus. We want to be following the Spirit as He leads us. Why would the one and only God even care to help us back on our feet when we fall? Why does He want to keep us from falling? Why does He want to support us along the way in life? Well, verse 24 of our text tells us that He wants to do something. To present you without fault and with great joy before His glorious presence when He brings you to eternal life. Wow. I couldn't help as I was thinking about this that I've done many weddings over the 30 years or so that I've been in ministry. And I don't think there's been a single one where at some point, it's at the close of the service, it's after, you know, the exchange of the vows and the rings, and maybe they lit a unity candle, maybe they had one of the sand ceremony things where they're blending the sands together, you know, to illustrate that idea of two becoming one. At some point there, after that, at the end of the service, I will say something like this. By the authority invested in me by this state and by the Lord of heaven, I pronounce you as man and wife. And they'll use a kiss about that time. Everybody, oh, they all applaud, you know, and that's great. And then I say, then the words come. I'm honored. It gives me great pleasure to present to you Mr. and Mrs. And you fill in the blank. Hear what is being said by Jude. That our Lord God wants to make that kind of presentation to his Father. He wants to be able to. And that wedding image again of the bride all in white. It's in Ephesians 5. You know, we talked about that symbolism from Ephesians 5 about the church, you know, being dressed in radiance and white without spot or blemish. Jesus wants to present us to his Father, faultless before the throne. Faultless. He wants to say, it gives me great joy to present to you, Father, fill in the blank. Wow. Wow. That he would want to do that, have such a desire to do that, that he's going to help us through life to keep us from falling so that we can be presented whole and perfect in the sight of his Father, that he can take pride in his bride. See, God doesn't want you to crawl through life, though, until that time. He doesn't even want you to limp up to the pearly gates before you walk down the streets of gold to that throne. No, his plan is for you to skip and run into eternity with your head held high, your hand in his, and the other hand raised in victory. That's what he wants. That's what he desires. And he's the one and only God who's able to do that. No other. The only one, see, who can do that, who can lead us through life without falling and then present us as faultless to his Father. No one else can do that. We earlier sang why he's able to do that. He's a spotless lamb, the risen Lord who has cleansed us. As Philippians 1:6 says, assuring us that he will finish the work he started. He'll finish that work. Whatever he began in us, he will complete. He will bring to completion. And we will be presented to the Father faultless before the throne. I think that's kind of interesting. Keep us from falling. Present us faultless. There's two things to praise God about. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you in Jesus' name for the glory that you have revealed to us in you and your Son Jesus. I want to thank you, God, for what Jesus did for us in dying on the cross, shedding his blood that we might be cleansed, made holy. I want to thank you for the strength that you give us every day through your Spirit. I want to thank you for your instruction, your holy word. I want to thank you, God, for being willing to lead us step by step, to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the throne. We praise you for that. We thank you for that. But God, I pray that there's someone here today who believes they've fallen too far. They've fallen too hard. They are too severely wounded beyond recovery, that there's no way possible that they could ever be faultless before the throne. I pray, God, that they'll be touching their hearts and your Spirit to know that because of what Jesus did, they can be, if they'll just come into his love. Accept that love. Be changed by that love. Thank you, God. May it be so. In Jesus' name, amen.